China spends on its military. Simultaneously, both Republicans and Democrats are squabbling over whether to curtail modest spending to fight real national security threats like future pandemics and climate change in the $3.5 trillion reconciliation bill. That sort of strategic obtuseness simply doesn't add up. Yet, when even moderate Democrats fold on social spending but support inflated military budgets, it's worth looking at some of the trade-offs and opportunity costs of all that war spending. A famed Republican president and West Point trained five-star general, Dwight D. Eisenhower, said as much way back in 1953. IKE lamented such trade-offs in a speech stating, "Every gun that is made, every warship launched, every rocket fired signifies, in the final sense, a theft from those who hunger and are not fed. Those who are cold and are not clothed." The truth is, two decades worth of post-9/11 war budgets haven't benefited average Americans. Instead, it's incurring crippling costs on the citizenry in the form of social programs cut or stillborn, civil liberties curtailed, and troops squandered in one failed boondoggle after another. Let's start with that $25 billion bonus gift to the Pentagon and to the corporate war industry. That figure is slightly more than the entire NASA space program. The bill also includes more than $12 billion for F-35 combat aircraft, a weapons system so immensely over budget, behind the schedule and laden with technical flaws, that the state senator John McCain, hardly a defense dove, called the whole fiasco a scandal and a tragedy. Unsurprisingly, $12 billion is equivalent to about 1.5 Head Start programs, which offers educational, nutritional, and social services to low-income preschoolers. Or take the Environmental Protection Agency, EPA. Its annual budget, that is $9.2 billion, clocks in about $4 billion below the cost of a single modern aircraft carrier. Additionally, the NDAA continues funding an absurdist multi-decade $1.7 trillion modernization program for an already inflated nuclear arsenal that's utterly unusable, unless we want to start a nuclear war. And unnecessary, the U.S. nuclear stockpile remains 13 times larger than China's. Nuclear wars can't be won, shouldn't be fought, and America's irrational arsenal equates to at least 40 years worth of universal tuition-free college education for Americans. Only one group has meaningfully benefited from 20-plus years of U.S. hypermilitarism, the war profiteers. Here, we are talking truly mind-boggling numbers. Recent reports show that an investment of $10,000 in defense stocks when the war on terror began would now be worth almost $100,000. There is something grotesque behind such statistics. An average American should be absolutely outraged by these blood money windfalls. Because here's the real rub. The recent collapse of Afghanistan is proof positive that the United States is definitely losing these campaigns. Only the war industry won, raking in blood money billions, while 7,000-plus American troops, including several under my command, did the actual bleeding for some $30,000 to $40,000 a year. Seeing as corporate advertising soundbites seemingly infuse every aspect of American society, let me suggest a more accurate slogan for the military-industrial complex's public face. The Department of Defense, that is why we can't have nice things.
IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is your host, Musa al-Bahadali, and you are now listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we discuss problems, issues, and other relevant questions parents have regarding the Islamic upbringing of their children. As usual, all of the answers provided in this program are based upon the Holy Book of the Quran and upon the narrations of the Prophet and of the household of the Prophet, peace be upon them all. Joining us in the studio is a dear friend and guest speaker, Sayyid Abdullah al-Musawi, who is an Islamic researcher at the Seminary of Qum. Dear Sayyid, I welcome you and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us, dear Sayyid. Today, dear Sayyid, we will be talking about why a parent should apologize when committing a mistake with their children and how they should apologize and subsequently fix their mistake. Dear Sayyid, please enlighten us.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir la'inur rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum. Now, me and you and all the parents listening, that when our kids make mistake, the first thing we expect them to do, and the first thing that we want them to do actually, to admit that they made a mistake.
Right.
And then we want them to apologize.
Right.
That's just a natural response we have as a parent to everything. So when you say to your child, did you do this? The first thing you want to do is admit. You know he done it.
That's admit your guilt.
Yeah, so why would you ask him if you don't know? You know he done it. You know he lied. You know he broke. You know he stole. You know what he did. But you say, why did you do it? Did you do it? In a way, you're trying to get him to admit he made a mistake.
To come clean.
Yeah, to admit he made a mistake. And then you would expect him to do what? To give an apology,
make up for it,
or process promise that he would never do it again. This is what I expect even from you as a grown adult. When you do something wrong with me, I expect you to apologize and admit your mistake.
It's simple, decent etiquette and manners.
Yeah, so this is what we expect. So we naturally expect that from our children. Now, how about us as parents when we make a mistake with our own children, when we do something wrong? Or for example, sometimes, not to that extent. Sometimes, like, let's just keep it simple. Sometimes your child might ask you something, and you give him, like, you just because you don't want to say, I don't know, you give an answer. Then you realize you were wrong in that answer. A lot of parents, for example, they would never correct that. Okay, you know, if I say, I made a mistake.
Embarrassing for me.
Yeah, embarrassing for me. So they don't do that. Now, I'm trying to teach a child to apologize and accept the fact that he made a mistake.
Right.
Right. When I expect that, I need to encourage that in my child through what? Through my actions.
Through an example.
Through an example. Me and you are human beings. We're not infallibles. We're not ma'sumin. We make mistakes.
Naturally, yeah.
Naturally. We make mistakes. Me and you make mistakes. Our mistakes make us grow. They make us stronger. They make us better because we learn from them. We move on, right? If we don't, we always remain backwards and educated and we never move forward, basically.
Yeah.
So we need to learn from our mistake, and since we are human beings, we need to do that. So you see that when it comes to parents, for example, or teachers or educators, they find it very hard, and they find it like a burden on them to apologize to their kids and to say sorry. Now, why is that very dangerous?
They say you leave that question till after the break.
Inshallah.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear listeners. Just before going on a break, we were just about to answer why it is dangerous for a parent not to apologize to their children when they commit a mistake. Dear Sayyid, please answer this question for us.
So we said that why is it that when a parent or an educator does something wrong, we find it very hard to apologize to our kids or to our students.
Right.
And we said that itself is very dangerous. Why? Because the child himself, obviously, he also knows that he made a mistake.
Of course, he also knows
that he done something wrong.
He's not stupid.
He's not stupid, obviously. Yeah. And obviously, depending on the age of the child, the older he is, the more he knows what's happened. Now, what happens to the child is that he will learn by your method, by doing mistakes and never admitting it and always trying to defend yourself and try to shut them up or silence them, he would learn, and literally you're subconsciously teaching them, that if you make a mistake, try to hide it.
Don't admit it.
Don't admit it.
Right.
No matter what happens.
Manipulate the truth also.
Exactly. Keep it to yourself. Never tell.
Right.
Right? And so they learn this method of always suppressing things inside them, keeping things hidden, and then having to bear the responsibility for their own action within themselves. So it creates even a heavier burden than themselves because they feel the guilt. They can't talk about it. They can't find anyone there to express to it. And only why? Because they've learned this method from the parents. That if you're wrong, don't say it. Because, I mean, me as a parent, if I make a mistake and I keep it to myself, I will keep eating myself from the inside.
I feel guilty.
I know I'm wrong, but I just can't admit.
Right.
Now, why can't parents admit to their kids? And it's simple. Because they have too much pride. We have too much arrogance and pride.
A harsh truth.
Yeah, to lower ourselves to our kid's level. And I say, well, why should I lower myself to his level? I feel I'm better than him.
Otherwise,
if I made a mistake, I mean, sometimes me as a teacher, I always teach kids. And sometimes they might ask me a question. And sometimes a simple question catches me out of guard.
Right.
And I find myself straight away giving an answer. Then, like, seconds, I'm like, oh, no, that's not right.
That's wrong. Right.
And so I correct myself, and I tell them, no, sorry, I said the wrong thing. That's not how it is. And that itself, I can feel with myself, it's very hard thing to do.
It's difficult.
It's very difficult.
Right.
It needs to be done, obviously.
But I can feel
the difficulty of it. Why? Because your pride is online. No,
right.
I'm dealing with my students. I'm not dealing with my... So with my students, I'm more flexible.
Right.
But when I'm a parent and with my kids, usually I'm less flexible.
I need to be an authority figure.
Exactly.
And so on.
I need to maintain my authority figure.
Right.
I need to maintain my power.
There's a status quo.
Yeah. So I need to maintain what? I need to maintain my pride.
Right.
And sadly, this is a problem again. That pride that I have, I simply pass it on to them as well. Now, I taught them two wrong things. I taught them that when they make a mistake, they hide.
Right.
They never apologize to people. They never admit their mistakes. These things I've already taught them. on top of that, it is in pride to be to have that kind of pride, takabbur,
right?
Not to ever admit your mistake and to say, no, I'm always right. And that's the problem itself.
So instead of simply apologizing, you've taught the child all of these bad deeds and sins, in essence.
Exactly.
And on that note, dear Sayyid, we will go on a quick break.
The Prophet ﷺ said, honor your children and teach them good manners.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You are listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Today we are discussing how important it is to apologize to our children when we commit a mistake. Dear Sayyid, please enlighten us further.
Therefore we say a good educator or a good parent, when he makes a mistake, we're not saying that he instantly or immediately admits his mistake.
In the heat of the moment.
So we're not saying that as well.
That's
okay?
Too difficult. Huh?
So that not that it's too difficult, but you as a parent, you have to evaluate the situation that you're in.
Right.
Okay? But we're saying that you evaluate the situation, who you've made the mistake against, or who you made the mistake in front of, because sometimes not dealing with them. Sometimes you do something wrong by yourself. For example, I'm talking to my wife, and I get angry and I curse.
Right.
Right. Now the child heard me curse. Now, that's a mistake. I need to make it known to the child that I made this mistake. So sometimes, in the heat of the moment, my pride kicks in. I'm like, no, I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to let it slide.
Right.
But what happens after? But if you're a super successful parent, you'll say, you know what? I made a mistake. The child heard me. No, I don't want my kid to swear because now I gave him a green light to swear.
Right.
So what would happen is I diffuse the situation, let things relax, everything else. Let my child be present. I come to my wife and say, look, I do apologize. I said something wrong. It's haram. It should not be done. No, the child is listening to this. He's seeing me what? Admitting my mistake. He's seeing me apologizing for it. He's seeing me giving reason to why it's haram. It's a learning in progress for him. So he says, okay, so my dad admitted he made a mistake. My mom admitted she made a mistake. Now I can do the same thing.
Right.
I can admit my mistake too.
I know how it should play
exactly
out.
I know how it works out. So right. We're saying as to be a perfect educator or a successful one is not to, because okay, I have to admit, therefore straight away I'm sorry. Sometimes the situation does not allow for a straight immediate,
right. You need to be flexible.
Exactly, right. You need to be, we have to go back to the first step. You need to be flexible in that. So you need to evaluate the situation and where has it happened. And who's in front of you? Is it a young person, an old person, an older child, a younger child? And work with that and correct it as you go on. The more you correct from your mistakes, or at least the more you admit your mistake in front of your children or to your children themselves, the more they themselves will feel more in tune and more relaxed with you as well when they make mistakes.
Yeah.
They will be more comfortable to come to you and say to you, I made a mistake. I speak for myself.
It's not judgment day when it
exactly
happens.
So as we say, I always, when I do something wrong in the family, I always apologize for it and I admit I made a mistake. Now with my kids themselves, I've noticed this with them as well, that every time they make a mistake, straight away they say, oh yeah, dad, sorry, I'm sorry, I know I did this, I know I shouldn't have done it, I'm sorry. They admit straight away without me having to take it out of their mouths.
Right. They know.
They know. Because I made it a habit for myself to always admit my mistakes in front of my kids. If I made a mistake, I'll say it. I made a mistake. I'm wrong. If I talk with their mom and I do something wrong with their mother, for example, I always apologize to their mother.
Right.
And I not just apologize, try to make up for it. And so
right.
This is learning and progress. If you try to keep it to yourself, if you stay away and your pride kicks in, I'm not going to apologize to my wife, I'm not going to, no, she started this whole thing, she deserves
right.
it. Then that pride is not required, and you're going to cause your pride. We're human beings, we make mistakes, but we learn by admitting and asking for forgiveness.
And that's the most important thing, dear Sayyid. On that note, dear Sayyid, we will end today's program. I thank you for your time and for your insightful knowledge. I also thank the dear listeners for tuning in. If the dear listeners have any questions or other relevant comments and feedback, please contact us at our email englishradio@irib.ir. You can also visit our website parstoday.com. Alternatively, you can also find us on the various social media accounts we have on YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter under the call handle of Call of Islam Radio. Thank you for tuning in. Until next time, fi amanillah.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and here is a wonderful saying from the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. The most helpless of all persons is he who cannot find a few brothers during his life. But still more helpless is he who finds such a brother but loses him.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The light.
Qatar displays a dazzling drone show as it unveils the countdown clock for the 2022 FIFA World Cup in Doha. The clock, in the shape of an hourglass, is located at Doha's iconic Cornish fishing spot. The distinctive design enables the structure to be seen from any angle and stand out from the spectacular city skyline behind it. The event reveals to fans worldwide that just 1 year to go to the big kickoff. Famous athletes including David Beckham and Samuel Eto'o were in attendance at the ceremony. They may not realize it, but they are extremely lucky. Two pandas have been adopted by superstars. Chinese Olympic champion Zhang Jiechi and Paris Saint-Germain footballer Kylian Mbappe have become godparents to a pair of panda cubs. The athletes have both expressed satisfaction with their new role, with Mbappe calling his godparenthood a big moment. The cute cubs are only 3 months old and can barely stand on their own feet. They are called Yuan Dudu and Juan Lily. Space lovers have been treated to an epic lunar eclipse that dazzled the night skies of the Northern Hemisphere. The event is also known as the Blood Moon because of the red haze seen around the moon during the eclipse. The 3.5-hour phenomenon gave stargazers the chance to witness the longest partial eclipse in 580 years. Although NASA calls this celestial event a partial eclipse, around 97% of the moon was cast into a red hue by the Earth's shadow. A total eclipse could also be seen in Russia's far eastern regions. The next longest partial eclipse will take place in around 648 years.
An 11-month-old baby has become an internet sensation after a video of her snowboarding went viral in China. Wang Yuji is a daredevil infant snowboarder whose adorable face sticks out underneath all the protective snow and sports gear. Her parents decided to learn skiing during the winter, but they also wanted to include their baby on the fun of snow sports. While snowboarding might be a bit too early for a toddler who can barely stand or walk, Yuji was not scared at all and even enjoyed it. China, which is hosting the Winter Olympics in a couple of months, is encouraging citizens to try ice and snow sports.
Every year, the roads across this tiny island in northwestern Australia turn scarlet just as millions of crabs leave their homes in the depths of the forest and start marching together all the way to the ocean where they can mate and spawn. The spectacular group voyage on Christmas Island happens after the first rainfall in October or November. And in order to give these red creatures the leeway, locals close off multiple roads across the island. They've even built a special bridge for the crabs so that they can cross the road unharmed. The mesmerizing migration is now a tourist attraction, drawing nature lovers from around the globe.
Paleontologists in Brazil have discovered remains that could belong to a species of dinosaur as yet unknown. The fossils were found at a site in northeastern Brazil. A team of scientists is trying to put together the bones and complete the huge dinosaur's skeleton. They think it lived during the Cretaceous period, which began around 145 million years ago and ended with extinction of all dinosaurs roughly 66 million years ago.
A new study shows that moderate consumption of tea and coffee may be better for your health than previously thought. The study conducted by a Chinese medical university says tea and coffee can help keep stroke and dementia at bay. And if you're wondering what is meant by moderate consumption, it's defined as something between 2 and 5 cups of tea and coffee, either alone or combined in one day. The study followed more than 360,000 people aged 50 to 74 for over a decade. Some scientists have praised the study as robust. Others, however, say the participants were all selected from the UK Biobank, which means they're healthier than the general population. Pomegranate has a special place in Iranian culture. There is a trace of the fruit everywhere from poetry to cooking. Iranians even hold a pomegranate festival in the fall. This year the event is held in one of the main parks in the capital, Tehran. The festival features different varieties of pomegranates that are grown across Iran. The visitors can also find pomegranate products, including juices, concentrates, and dressings. The event includes cultural parades, music concerts, and traditional live performances. Iranians say they always welcome the pomegranate season, as it's one of the old symbols in the country's literature and art. The Christmas season always brings happiness and joy to people around the world. Many Parisians these days are taking a respite from their daily routines and hitting famous departmental stores now light up with present boxes. Cheerful families could be spotted at Christmas-decorated galleries, Lafayette and Printemps department stores. Automated figures and colorful window displays are the center of attractions for them and their children. It's a season when people buy Christmas gifts for their loved ones, and stores make big profits this time around. Many Parisians say they want to take advantage of this period, as the government is debating whether or not to impose a COVID-related lockdown. In Venezuela, a large number of musicians are striving for one common goal, and that's setting the Guinness record as the world's largest orchestra. Over 12,000 musicians, mostly children and adolescents, have played together to make that happen. Hundreds of violins, violas, and double basses playing in unison at this setting in Caracas. The musicians are all connected to the country's network of youth orchestras. For them to set a record, over 8,000 instruments had to play at the same time during a 5-minute period of a classical piece. Right now, a Russian orchestra that played the country's national anthem is holding the record. Once done, the crowd of musicians erupted in cheers, lifting their instruments and waving Venezuelan flags. Guinness will announce its decision in the next 10 days.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Tourists and residents in Los Angeles have been mesmerized by a dazzling new event the U.S. city is hosting, with holiday-themed and full of colorful lights. Visitors can enjoy a mile-long walkway covered on all sides with brightly lit installations. Artists from around the world have taken part in the exhibition. The centerpiece display is a cathedral tunnel lit with thousands of bulbs. Another amazing attraction is the orbs, lit up with thousands of torches. The event has been a huge hit with the LA public.
Oh my gosh, it's so nice.
And it gets to be out in the open, and it's like a perfect night to do it, so it's great.
It's definitely the best. Like, we had to do, like, in a car to go see lights, and then we got to, like, now, like, go around and actually walk and get to see everything up close, which is super nice.
Yeah.
Definitely after the, what, year and a half that we've had.
Yeah.
So.
And it's really nice to see everything up close, because it's, like, you see in a photo, but then it's more real and real, so.
Yeah.
The event opened to the public on the 12th of November and will run for 5 nights. Preparations for the event, however, started a month ago. The organizers say millions of bulbs and 17 miles of cables are used for the 18 art installations.
From a gray and gloomy look to a cheery and colorful appearance. That's the story of how a neighborhood in Peru's capital, Lima, is being transformed to become a tourist attraction. A group of artists in Lima are bringing color and joy to this hilly neighborhood by painting the walls of houses, creating an optical illusion of a giant mural
The project is visible from different spots across the city. The designers are hoping what they did can improve the lives of residents in a neighborhood that was considered to be unsafe before.
What we are doing here is communal work with all the neighbors, and we are doing it because it's important to change the environment through the use of colors. This hill was considered an unsafe and dangerous area of the city, so we decided to change that socialist stigma through art, which, for me as a muralist, is the best tool to achieve it.
The project was started 5 months ago, and workers are now putting the final touches to their work of art. The mural covers over 300,000 square meters. It's the largest in South America.
The birth of a baby sloth at an uncharacteristically hasty speed has surprised London zookeepers. A tiny two-toed sloth, named Terrier, was born to a mother, Marilyn, at the weekend. The zookeepers say there was no sign at all that Marilyn was going into labor when they checked her in the morning. However, less than an hour, they spotted something like a tiny arm tucked into her tummy. Marilyn had quietly delivered the baby with no fuss at all while her keepers were chopping up sweet potatoes for her breakfast. The mother and baby are said to be doing well, but the zookeepers still don't know the sex of the baby.
Modern technology has changed our lives in countless ways, with robots now preparing to lend a hand in operation rooms. Surgical robots are on display at the 4th China International Import Expo. One of the machines, dubbed Mazer X, gives assistance in spinal surgery. Employing the robot can lessen bleeding by 50% compared to open surgeries. Another one assists doctors to perform interventional surgeries.
Guide valves in the vessels can be controlled even less than 1 millimeter. Yeah. This is not cannot be achieved by the human hands. With the great, I think, market impact from this showcase, we successfully performed a first case PCI in Hainan Boao on March 13th.
The producers say surgical robots will soon operate in more hospitals around China. Therefore, training centers have been established to help surgeons learn how to operate the new generation of surgical robots.
A group of women are joining hands to protect one of India's key natural sites that is also on UNESCO's heritage list, the Western Ghats, a mountain chain that's facing severe deforestation. The 27 members of this all-female task force are doing all they can to protect the area's rare ferns, mosses, and thousands of other plants. They're using a variety of gardening tools and techniques to preserve species from all over the mountains. Not only that, but they also make artificial conditions and habitats for endangered species from other parts of the world, mainly those affected by climate change. One of the conservationists explained that what they are doing is actually helping the forest regenerate.
We have witnessed the birth of a forest, and that's a very powerful thing. You know, the mind is filled with the ghastly stories of forests being cut, like the Amazon or like the Western Ghats, but here we're witness to the birth of forests as well, and that is the forest itself birthing itself, you see.
The Western Ghats Mountains are home to nearly 5,000 species of flowering plants, but many of them are globally threatened. Only less than half of the area's flora is currently under conservation. Scientists say the outlook for the mountain is very concerning.
Today's special.
السلام عليكم.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا. رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah the Almighty. Salamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters in faith and humanity. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Today we're going to speak about courage and bravery in Islam. I invite all of you to be with us. Today, Tuesday, is the 17th of Rabiu Thani 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 2nd of the month of Azar 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 23rd of November 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open Allah's book, the Holy Quran, and we listen to chapter Yusuf, verse 33.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. قال رب السجن أحب إلي مما يدعونني إليه وإلا تصرف عني كيدهن أصب إليهن وأكن من الجاهلين.
He said, My Lord, prison is more to my liking than that to which they invite me. And if you do not avert me from their plan, I might incline toward them and thus be of the ignorant.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
When we are facing the attacks of powerful evil forces and we find ourselves teetering on the edge of the abyss of destruction, we must turn to Allah for protection. We must seek His support, for if His assistance is not there, nothing can be done for us. This is the lesson which the great Yusuf, the infallible ones, the Prophet, has taught us. It is He who says to Allah, if their evil plots are not averted from him, he would tend to incline towards them, and he would be left alone in his plight and will be no more. It is holy Allah who is the protector, not one's abilities, not one's power or mere virtues.
Heart, soul, and body, every single day of my life, with every breath, I solemnly promise to try to live my life for you. Oh Allah, you did revive my soul and shone your light into my heart. So please, you is now my only goal. Oh, I love you so.
Courage and bravery in Islam is our topic to speak about. Courage, valor, fearlessness, and boldness are all synonymous words. They are recognized as the basic qualities of a successful personality. Such, surely, boldness is different from carelessness and haughtiness, or impudence or rudeness. Similarly, there is a vast difference between bravery and indiscipline. Courage and fearlessness are the signs of maneness, and in many tasks, these qualities serve as a bridge to success. Rather, no achievement, progress, and advancement are attainable without courage and gallantry. All social and intellectual revolutions, too, require these qualities. Allah's messenger, Prophet Muhammad, said in a hadith, "A strong believer is better and is more lovable to Allah than a weak believer." Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with how to be brave in Islam. I mean, and in this connection, we are going to consider various aspects of braveness or bravery according to Islamic teachings. In the case of, for example, in the case of the Prophet Abraham, we find that he was brave enough to say no to satanic temptations and to say yes to the divine indications and visions in order to sacrifice his only son, Ismail, I mean, in the vicinity of Mecca. Or we find that the Prophet Moses was also a brave personality to oppose such a tyrant like the Pharaoh in Egypt. Now, it must be indicated that in the case of the divine prophet Joseph, he was a very brave personality to withstand satanic temptations, as discharged and yielded by the wife of the Pharaoh. And the prophet Joseph said a very big no to those satanic temptations and withstood and opposed all the carnal desires emitted by the wife of Pharaoh. So we find that, braveness isn't always in the sense of, for example, combating an enemy in a military context or in a military situation. Rather, this kind of braveness means that the person is able to take the right decision and move in the right direction for the purpose of Allah, for the purpose of attaining the pleasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
We're going to speak about different kinds of courage in the program. Today's a special. Emotional courage. Emotional courage involves allowing ourselves to feel the full spectrum of human emotions. In some situations, we may try to protect ourselves by appearing aloof, uncaring, or disconnected, but people with emotional courage proceed into emotional relationships with the knowledge that they may be emotionally impacted by that relationship at some point in the future. One tip to liberate ourselves from fear is increasing our worship. We all fall short in one way or another. One Muslim may excel in Salat but forgets about charity. Another fasts easily but doesn't read Quran. We could all use some improvement, especially myself. The future behind I am in my worship, the more fearful I am of death. I'm like a basketball team down by 20 points with 3 minutes to go. The clock is ticking down, ticking down. When there is time, there is hopeful. But when the clock reads zero, time is up. They are watching the clock so much that they can't shoot straight. On the opposite side, the team that's leading by 20 points is not afraid of the clock. They are calm because they are playing catch up. Only Allah knows our final scores, but we know how many prayers we've missed, how many frivolous things we've bought instead of feeding the poor, and so on. We become actually aware of the game clock during time of war and danger. These times force us to check our own internal scoreboards. The future behind we are in our own assessment, the more we will fear zero. Increase your worship so that you feel blessed, neither self-righteous nor despairing of Allah's mercy, but doing your best to please Allah.
Imam As-Sajjad alayhi salam, when he was asked to explain the meaning of courage, he said in those famous lines, "Kalimatu haqqin 'inda sultanin fajir." Courage is to speak the truth in the presence of a tyrant. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi, in the 63 years of his life, he faced against the superpowers of his time, and he was always on the front lines. He was the symbol of courage and fearlessness. Ali ibn Abi Talib, the Lion of Allah, describes the Holy Prophet in the following way. He says, "Kunna idha ihmarra al-ba'su wa laqiya al-qawmu al-qawm, ittaqayna bi Rasulillah, fama yakunu ahadun aqrab ila al-aduw min." Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, he says, when fighting used to become intense and the two armies would clash, we would always seek refuge with the Holy Prophet. And indeed, no one was closer to the enemy than Rasulullah. Ali ibn Abi Talib was the same because he grew up in the lap of Rasulullah. And Ali ibn Abi Talib himself says, "Wallah, لو اجتمعت العرب على قتالي لما وليت عنها مدبرا." He says, "I swear by Allah that if all of the Arabs gathered to fight against me, I would not turn away and I would not run away." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran has commanded all human beings to stand against injustice and tyranny in whatever form it may take. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah number 13, verse 11, "Inna Allah la yughayyiru ma biqawmin hatta yughayyiru ma bi-anfusihim." Allah will not change the condition of a people until they change the condition of their souls. And that is why, my dear brothers and sisters, it is imperative that we change the state of our souls from a state of fear to a state of fearlessness. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to fill our hearts with the courage of prophets. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi al-tahirin.
Dear brothers and sisters, what you had listened to was today's special from IRIB English Radio. That's all for today's episode. Inshallah, we'll meet you in another day, same time, same channel. Thank you very much for joining us. Till another episode, fi amanillah.
Some might say this world today is short. God's left us to our mistakes, oh, but He's never been so far away. Some might say, how could any father stand? See his children across many lands, suffer so, give no help in hand, no help in hand. Somewhere tonight, far away and out of sight, there's a child that's too weak to cry. Deep in those eyes, can't you see him in disguise? Reaching out to the heart that's in you and I.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English.